listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake Up Hollywood, this is your host with the most, Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this interview with a very awesome singer-songwriter. Let's welcome Sabina Chanturia. How are you, Sabina?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you. It's so great to be here.
First of all, you have such a magical name. Tell me where that came about or what your name means, because I don't think I've ever asked you that.
Thank you. So Chanturia, my last name is actually Georgian. So I'm half Swedish, half Georgian. So that's, thank you so much.
Amazing combination. So your family, hails from Georgia. Were you first generation?
Well, so I was born and raised in Sweden, but my father is from Georgia. My mother is Swedish. So I'm sort of
That's amazing. That's amazing. So how did they meet?
They actually met in Georgia when she was in Tbilisi, in the capital. She was researching. So they're both involved with the university. So that's how they met. And then they married and moved to Sweden. And then that's sort of how, yeah.
Well. And then how did you get into music? Because your family is from the world of academia.
Right. So actually, my grandmother on my Georgian side, she was a folk singer.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so it was sort of, I think that my musical gift came from my Georgian side, definitely. And people even say that you remind us of her, you know, even the vocal tone even. So it's really cool. But unfortunately, I never met her myself, so I don't remember her. But it's really cool to have that, you know, connection.
Yeah, that you're connecting to her spirit. It's right there because she was in love with music just like you were.
Right. Yeah, it's really cool that way. So
when did you start singing?
So I have been singing for as long as I can remember, really. But, I used to go to choirs and stuff like that. And then it's sort of, you know, my zen mode to sing. I don't know, it just makes me feel very free and, you know, relaxed. And I don't know. It's always been there, sort of.
I always feel like singers kind of have a quiet confidence because you're learning the craft and you realize that that's so much of where our confidence comes from. But it's like a slow burn and it's like a quiet learning process because, you know, the craft is like very, you know, outward, but in gaining the confidence to do it, it's all inward, you know? So I feel like it's a slow burn of quiet confidence. When did you first start singing solo or have the confidence to first break out and not sing in a choir?
Right. So that was pretty interesting, actually, because I was listening to Madonna quite a lot. I sort of discovered her and I was really intrigued by her music. And for me, it was just, you know, something very new and intriguing somehow. So the song Like a Prayer, you know, that one really sort of, I felt a strong connection with that song somehow. And I actually, well, in school, I was pretty shy, you know, and I was pretty like an introvert. But then I was, you know, singing to this song and I just, you know, found confidence in my vocal skills sort of. And it was at a school graduation that I sang live for the first time solo.
What do you remember the song you sang live?
Yeah, it was like a prayer, like a cover.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it was like
guitar, or you just did it with a track, or how did you do it?
Back then I was 15, so I was just starting out to play the guitar, so it was actually a backing track.
Awesome.
It was really cool. Yeah. Just the freedom.
When did you start playing guitar?
About the same time when I was around 15, 16. So, and it was, you know, started with me like writing, you know, poems, really ridiculous, of course, you know, when, you're 15 and, you know,
it's like. Definitely love poems, let's be honest.
Exactly. All those. Exactly. But somehow I wanted to, you know, I didn't want to rely on a band to like, you know, to play. So I was like, well, I can figure it out myself, at least, you know, to learn a few chords. So it started like that. And then it sort of, I was starting to write my own songs and evolving slowly. But
Did Madonna make you want to learn guitar? Because she started learning guitar late in her career. So is that what made you pick it up?
You know, actually, I saw like a poster of her holding a guitar, you know, really cool. I was like, wow, I can do that too. You know, it's it was sort of that. Yeah, because I didn't see a lot of, you know, female guitarists, at least. I didn't know many of them. So seeing her with a guitar really inspired me. So.
Well, and also, you know, you were born in Sweden, and Sweden has this affinity to pop music like no other country. I mean, there's so much pop music melodies that have just come out since, I'd say, the 60s and 70s, since, you know, so many groups. Isn't ABBA from Sweden?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, they are. And they were my first, like, I remember my first record was the ABBA Greatest Hits record.
That was my first record was, I think, Michael Jackson, Thriller, and Men at Work. But I remember my parents playing ABBA. That was the first record I heard.
Oh, yeah?
My first record I remember was gifted was Michael Jackson, Thriller. But ABBA was always on, like, it was one of those groups that just had such infectious music. It was a little bit disco, a little bit pop, a little bit rock. And it was so musical that it was always playing in my house. So I always had this, you know, connection to Sweden through that music. And it's just been, you know, recognized over and over again that Sweden can churn out pop songs like it's nothing. So tell me how just being in that environment, maybe Swedish pop stars or just how Swedish songwriters were crossing over, how that, you know, kind of got into your musical inspiration.
Well, I don't know. They say maybe it's something with the weather, you know, that we're sort of, you know, it's there's a lot of pop music in Sweden somehow, you know, pop rock. It's really, it's like everywhere, you know, you can find people, you know, jamming and writing songs in the, so it's, I don't know, really, it's a like interesting question to really like figure out what is it, you know, that makes it, you know, why Sweden, you know, but I think that we're having a lot of like music in school at a very early stage, perhaps that, you know, contributes. And
so was your schooling like, you know, whether you're encouraged to sing or play an instrument, was it always like everybody was involved in music from an early age?
Yeah, well, it was pretty encouraged, I would say, definitely, you know, to play an instrument. And we had like great music lessons, you know, back in school. So it was, you know, I would say quite like a good foundation to build from.
What I love is I find that, you know, a lot of Swedish artists and songwriters, they have this reverence for melody. Like in no other worlds or other country is melody so celebrated than I feel like in Sweden. Because whenever the writing and whatever the style of music, it's always super melodic. And I think it's put at the forefront. And I just love that that's a big thing, because that's how classical music kind of came about. Everything was about the melody, and then it was about the accompaniment and building that. And I find a lot of, you know, Swedish artists and Swedish music or Swedish songwriters that cross over, they're doing the same thing. It's like melody's at the forefront. It is one of the most important, if not the ultimately most important things, and they build around it. Did you kind of find that you were gravitating towards melodies in a different way, or just the people around you were singing melodies that were, you know, poppy or, you know, just influential in some way?
Well, I would say for me, I guess I was really like an ABBA fan, you know, at, you know, 7, 8 years old, when all the other kids were listening to Britney and, you know, Christina Aguilera. And I guess, you know, I was really like, I listened a lot to them. So, I really think they probably, you know, maybe subconscious, you know, it sort of came shown through on my own songwriting later. But melody, yeah, there's a lot of like folk songs, I would say, that people usually know and sing, you know, whenever there's some sort of festivity or something. maybe that plays into it.
I feel like it's quite fascinating. I feel like the weird thing is, you know, I've met a couple of people from Sweden, and they all kind of give me that same response. They're like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just like in the water or in the
yeah, it's sort of.
You know, but the thing is, it's like that when I ask this question, there is always like this looking back and, you know, understanding that, you know what, Melody has been at the forefront of all of this songwriting and a big part of your culture. And what I love is also that they've not only adapted some of the American pop melodies and English melodies and a lot of European melodies too, but they also advance it, you know, like they take pop music and they push it one level further so that everybody around us, like, you know, the American and UK songwriters or musicians, they're having to kind of bring their A game because so many Swedish pop stars and writers are just churning out unbelievably beautiful melodies and catchy lyrics, catchy hooks. Everything's about the hook. And I find that really kind of fascinating because, you know, in American music, there's a lot of improvisation and there's a lot of different genres. There's a lot of rock and raw, edgy stuff. But I find that the melodies sometimes are not as sharp as what's coming out of Sweden or what the songwriters are doing. And I say this because, you know, when you first played, you know, you're one of my former students. And when you first played Wild and Free, I was like, you were just ready. You were already ready to conquer the world with your melodies. And it's rare that I hear that right away. And so wow. I'm just fascinated with the environment that you came from, because I feel like, you know, in the U.S., a lot of music in schools is dying. You know, you don't have that same kind of like, you know, encouragement, you know, like you said that earlier, in the same way that I think a lot of countries in Europe are kind of pushing that as something to embrace. So, you know, in one way, I think it's really fascinating that you come from this very melodic driven, music loving country. Now, I have to ask you, what, when you were growing up, besides Madonna, what was popping, you know, from American culture and music? I know Madonna was huge, obviously. Were there other artists that were just, you know, you were fascinated by, or you just saw kind of took hold of, you know, Swedish culture or pop culture?
Well, there was a lot of like Swedish indie bands that I liked a lot. The Sounds, I don't know if you've heard of them, and The Ark. So sort of indie pop was when I was like my early teens, I really liked, you know, more was leaning towards the rockier, pop rock sort of. Tori Amos, I've always liked her a lot. And Fleetwood Mac, definitely. But I was listening to a lot of things and classical music as well, you know, so I have a pretty eclectic taste, I would say.
And you also have a lot of like older tastes, like a lot of, you know, people your age, they don't listen to Fleetwood Mac. They're listening
right.
to like new pop music. So if I mention Fleetwood Mac, they just don't know, like, you know. So maybe were your parents big influences as far as like what they were listening to, you became what you were listening to, or did you find this stuff on your own?
I was finding it on my own, I would say. I mean, although they love music, Simon and Garfunkel, though, that was playing in my house as well. But yeah, like a lot of, it's actually quite interesting because I like a lot of old, of course, a lot of modern stuff as well, too, obviously. But at the, you know, when I was, you know, like a kid, usually people were listening to other things that I was like, no, I'm listening to this 80s music or, you know, which was quite weird. But I really like the, you know,
And how do you think when you're writing music now and, you know, you're kind of, you've seen a little bit more of the world coming to the US and studying with people like myself and other people at the songwriting school, and just being around this environment, how did that influence or change your sound, or how did you find your sound, or are you always still exploring?
I would say I'm always still exploring, but the Americana sound definitely got me very much. You know, the Americana sound, the sort of I really like it a lot. Like you know, this sort of country Americana style, and especially the like the new artists that are coming up, like Kacey Musgraves, for example, and they really like inspire me a lot too. So I would say today's probably, yeah, it's definitely a mix, and I'm still sort of exploring, I guess, and I'm still curious to see what a song could, you know, how it could turn out, also production wise. But yeah,
Is country music big over in Sweden from America or no?
Americana is pretty big. They wow. like to call it Americana, and I would say that it's definitely on the rise. Yeah, and like First Aid Kit, for example, like they're pretty huge. So in Sweden, so yeah, it's but melody is always like the core still for me. I would say it's always about the melody, sort of, yeah.
And you know what's really great about your artistry is, you know, you're in a time where everybody's using the computer, using electronic beats, doing, you know, the EDM sound or whatever. And I love that you play guitar and you're bringing that folk thing back and you're bringing it back into pop music. Tell me how that was, you know, a choice, you know, in your core to kind of take that direction.
Well, yeah, it just felt more natural to me somehow, you know. It felt like more, I don't know, authentic, I guess. I mean, not saying that, you know, creating music with computers are not authentic, of course, but for me personally, like I've always felt a stronger connection with, you know, sitting with a guitar and like singing and just like, you know, writing the song, like carving out the song that way. And then yeah, I guess it's or on the piano, but mostly it's on the guitar, you know. And since I sing a lot, you know, and you know, the singing came first in my case, I would say that I sing melodies as well, so it's somehow, yeah, more natural to me somehow.
Tell me about your songwriting process. Do you start with a guitar groove? Do you start with a melody or words? Or is it kind of like a thematic thing, like you already have a title in mind? Tell me how songs, you know, you create songs.
Right. So it depends. But I would say that it's usually some sort of emotion and feeling that I'm sort of having, you know, or feeling could be, you know, anything that I feel strongly about. So, and usually it's some sort of guitar. So based on that feeling, I sort of find my way on the, you know, if it's a like strumming pattern or more of a finger picking pattern, or, you know, yeah, it's usually based on a feeling, actually. So
I love that. I'm kind of the same way. It's like as soon as I feel like I wear my emotions on my sleeve, and as soon as something jars those emotions mm-hmm. in any direction, it could be disappointment or anger, or it could be I'm in love, or I feel inspired by social change or whatever, I just have to pick up my guitar and find something. And I usually, exactly. The same way, it's like you find patterns and then it kind of births a melody and then you run with it. Do you usually write lyrics after you find all your melodies, or is it kind of like you're finding melodies and lyrics around the same time?
They're sort of on the same time, I would say. But yeah, I've had cases where I've had a, like, you know, lyrics and then finding the melody to it. So it could be both ways, but usually it's happening at the same time, definitely. Yeah. And sort of hear, you know, yes, feeling my way through the lyrics sort of, and yeah. So
and you've won some awards. Let's talk about, let's brag a little bit. So you've won some things that have kind of given you some spotlights. Talk a little bit about some of those real quick.
Well, so the very first was when I was 19 at the World Championship of Performing Arts in Hollywood. So that was really, you know, that was really amazing to be a part of that, that contest. Then the Caucasus Music Award pretty recently was 2019. yeah, that was a lot of fun, of course, to be involved in that.
So let's play something first. What do you want to play us first? You've been doing some music videos, which is pretty exciting, and you did it in some cool spots. Tell us a little bit about what you want to play us first, and where you videotaped the performance and the video and all of that.
Right. So I was thinking of starting with Fire and Flame. It's my most recent single. It's called Fire and Flame, and I was actually writing it in front of a fireplace. It's a very melodic song, definitely, I would say. About being in love and the mystery of those feelings. So, it was really exciting to do the music video for this one as well.
I feel like that coincidence of you writing the song in front of a fireplace, it was not a coincidence. Right. Like that, they just like fall into place, and then you realize, wow, if I wasn't there, maybe that song wouldn't have come out. So I love that.
Right.
Let's hear Fire and Flame by Sabina Santoria.
When I look in your eyes, they take me by surprise. My temperature is rising faster than the speed of light. I don't know what you've done to me. I never fall so easily.
So beautiful. That was fantastic. Must have been such a crazy experience to film that. Tell us what that was about.
Yeah, that was really amazing. It was at Studio 60s. So it's in LA. And it was really, just coming up with the whole, going from the song and just thinking about the visuals and imagery, and you know, it was so much fun to work with this great team that I was working with. So yeah, we had a lot of fun for sure, and it felt surreal, you know. And then it was over like that.
Was it just a full day shoot, or did you do it over a couple days?
Well, it was full day. So wow. Yeah, it was really fun, and it was real, you know, the lights. I mean, and it's real fire, so it was actually, you know, real smoke and real candles and everything. It was really.
No, what I loved about it too, it's like it's a very theatrical video. So you see, it's like a cinematic experience in just like this little 3.5 minute song, you know? So it's just really shot well. The story was great. What were some of the challenges you felt like when you were in the process of filming? Did you feel like you were shy in moments? Did you feel like, okay, I got this. This is cool. It's easy. Was it terrifying and exhilarating at the same time? Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. Yeah, it was terrifying and exhilarating at the same time, I would say. But, you know, just getting out of your own head is probably the the biggest issue. You know, I guess everybody has, you know, those things where like, oh, like, how is this going to look? Or, you know, am I like, you know, you just got to be in the moment and, you know, really deliver the performance. You know, that was probably, you know, and
I'm sure the environment helped with all the candles.
Definitely. Yes.
Everything around. So that definitely adds to the mystique. And you did a couple costume changes too. You were like, all right, I'm out of this outfit, back to this outit. I know that's stressful just enough.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm finding all those, you know, it's like a puzzle, you know, putting everything together, like red dress, white dress, finding that dress, you know, it's actually, you know, a lot of work to just, you know, making sure everything looks, you know, complete sort of. And
it makes you appreciate movies and things that are like longer form mediums, because there's so much work on a music video. I've done a couple myself, and it's just so stressful. I always feel like it's exciting when you're in the moment and filming, but everything around it is like a perfect storm of chaos and, you know, just things that can go wrong or things that do go wrong, and then you know, somehow things work out. Were there any kind of crazy obstacles or things that you were like, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened?
Well, we had a situation with when I was in the middle with the candles all around me, like there was something that started to burning up, but it was some sort of situation where we had to be like, wait, you know, gotta fix this first. No, overall, I mean, everything went, you know, great. But of course, yeah, there's so much that goes into it, the planning and, you know, we were like 10, 15 people on the shoot. So it's a lot of, you know, it was a crazy day, you know, and great.
And what a beautiful song. Yeah. What a beautiful song. Your chorus. I mean, it's like as soon as you hear the chorus once, it's in your head. It's in your head for the rest of the song. And I found myself like I couldn't wait to hear it again after the first chorus.
Wow, so, thanks.
I mean, the writing is so it's so smart, you know, and it's so infectious. Tell me, when you were crafting that chorus, were you trying to think of something simple, something accessible? Were you just riding on emotion? What was the inspiration behind that chorus?
You know, I was riding on emotion, definitely. And it was one of those songs where, you know, I think I wrote it in like 20 minutes or 20, you know, like half an hour, really. I was not second guessing anything, really. I was just in a flow and really just, I wasn't, you know, thinking, oh, is this good? Is that bad? Is what, you know, I was just writing purely from emotion, really. And the chorus Fire and Flame, like it just felt natural, you know, and I didn't really analyze it so much at the time. I was just sort of strumming that and just feeling it just happened, I guess, you know.
What's cool is you paint a picture in your words and then you see it in the visual of the video. So there's this perfect marriage of what you're singing about and then what the visual is kind of doing to kind of convey that emotion. So it really is a fantastic video. Well done. Beautiful. just a really beautiful song, a really beautiful video. Let's play something else, shall we? What are we going to play next?
Well, so on Spiderweb, actually. So that was my first single. It was released in 2014. And it's, well, Spiderweb is like, you know, a metaphor for sort of breaking free from anything that's sort of holding you back or anything destructive, you know, for example, a relationship. So it's sort of, yeah, finding the strength to break free from that. And this song, again, was also sort of, well, just like, you know, I had just had a phone call. And after that phone call, I was like writing this song right away after. So it was really also based on emotion, I would say. But I like metaphors in songwriting, you know, so like spider web is sort of, you know, quite, yeah, it paints a picture, I guess.
I love it. Yeah, it's just it's a great image. So I'm excited to hear this. Let's hear this. This is Spiderweb by Sabina Shanturia. Natural on camera. Did you take some kind of theater or stuff when you were in school? Did you take any classes or acting or anything like that?
Actually, no. Although I really love, you know, movies and acting as well, so it feels very natural. And this was really, my first big, like, you know, music video. And it's sort of like a short movie, actually. So it was very, you know, thrilling experience to do this music video, actually.
I was just thinking that must have been one hell of a phone call for you to write that song right afterwards. So tell me, you must have been just hurt, pissed, angry, and all the most alive emotions. What's really, like, funny is you wrote such a calming, swift, just heartbreak song. Tell me how you took those emotions and created that vibe with it. Were you picturing the video? Were you picturing the scenario? How did you take all those charged emotions and write something so almost calming to listen to?
Yeah, well, it had been a lot of, you know, back and forth, and I guess it was some sort of, you know, looking at it from, I don't know, like, I just had enough, you know, somehow. And I was like, I had decided that this was going to be, you know, this was it, you know. So, and I also, you know, really thought that it was like being in a spider's web, you know. So it somehow, yeah, it just came, you know, based on that feeling and based on, you know, the notion that, okay, this is it. This is enough. You know, well, I'm walking away from this.
My favorite songwriters are always writers that use the tool of songwriting as therapy. And I feel like you do that with this song. It's like,
yeah,
you found an escape from the whole situation with this song where, you know, it may lend itself to others who listen to it that may feel trapped or may feel like discouraged by what they're going through in a current relationship or whatever it is, you know, to find an escape. So I love that you took that pain and you kind of transformed it into something beautiful. I feel like that's like one of the hardest things that songwriters have to do is wear their emotions on their sleeves, show the world their heartbreak, show the world, you know, that kind of the insides of yourself. You know, you're being vulnerable, completely vulnerable, and showing us everything that's going on. How did you find the strength or the vision or the courage to kind of, you know, do that at such a young age?
I don't know. I've always, you know, felt very strongly about things, and, you know, it's natural for me, you know, to just express my feelings and sort of, you know, and it's like therapy. It's been like therapy, I would say, and it still is, of course. I mean, songwriting is something that's so, you know, it means so much, and it's just, yeah, a way of channeling, you know, feelings. And
what's so interesting too is you say you're an introvert, but when you watch yourself on camera, clearly you are not an introvert because you tap into something else. So what is that thing that you tap into either when you're writing or when you're on camera that kind of allows you to kind of be the things that you naturally don't usually gravitate towards?
Right. So, well, I think I'm a bit of both, you know. In school, I was feeling myself very much, you know, I was feeling out of my, you know, skin. I felt like an introvert, but really, I think that I've always been an extrovert, but I've, you know, as you get it. Yeah. When you're young, you have all these, you know, questions and, you know, trying to find yourself and find your way and so on. But, it's just somewhere where I feel free, you know. It feels like the most natural thing, really, to sing and to act and just all these things to perform. I mean, that's really where I feel myself the most comfortable, I would say.
Well, it's interesting because it's like I never really thought about this. Like, I'm naturally an extrovert, but I think everybody is a little bit of both in some ways. And yeah, I never really thought about that until you just said that, because I think there is a combination of, you know, having to understand both to be able to channel those emotions to others or kind of, you know, feel those emotions even from others, you know? So I think it's interesting that you were able to channel those feelings and put it into poetic prose and put it into, you know, melody and take such an angry emotion. And then you're on camera and none of those things are really affecting you. And you're in the moment of telling this story, but you're really in the moment of just expressing what the song is. So did you find yourself, by the time you filmed the video, you'd moved past that pain, you'd found kind of like a safety in just where you were emotionally to find that, you know, strength? How was that process? Because it must have been like, you know, you're able to look backwards when you're doing the video because it's a time away from when you wrote the song and recorded the song. So it gives you a reflection. What was that process like for you? Did you find a little bit of kind of strength and confidence in those feelings?
Yes, definitely. And it felt like it became bigger than myself, you know, in a way. Okay, it was, you know, this was the seed of everything, like in the beginning, but then it transformed into this, like, to something else. And even I know people that were like, really, you know, felt the connection with the song and the video, and they could relate to it in different ways. So that was like bigger than my, the whole thing became bigger than my, you know, situation or my initial, you know.
Makes you feel like we're all a lot more connected, you know, when you, that's what I love about art. I think it's when you feel those emotions from the artist, you feel like they're bridging the gap between you and them, you know? So I'm sure a lot of people, this resonated with them because everybody's gone through a bad relationship or a hiccup in their marriage or whatever it is. So I love that you touch upon something very delicately, but you use the imagery of getting out of a spider web as your escape, your way out. So you offer hope with your music, which is a beautiful thing. Let's play something else. What are we going to play next?
All right. So the next song is called Cry For Me. And this one is, there's a lot of, a little bit of anger in this one, I would say. it's definitely one of my most, it has a lot of rock pop sound to it. So and also one of those songs that was sort of based on a strumming pattern very much. And then I was sort of singing, the lyrics sort of just came, you know, as I was having this very sort of static guitar pattern. So, and it's also a song about finding strength to break free, I would say, definitely. And that's...
Well, let's hear it. Here's another song by Sabina Shantorian.
The haze is lying on the floor. Pieces, and you just walked out the door, and you said to me, you're the one to blame, you really got no shame, no, such a
like a
don't know what you got till you're missing it. Till you're missing it all. And you will see you're never gonna find a girl like me. No, no, no.
Beautiful video. Wow. You're vicious. What's so funny is like you're always so sweet. You were always so sweet in class and always so angelic. And this song, it's like, you're like, you're going to cry for me. I can't even see that side of you. That's crazy. Tell me how you wrote that or what inspired that.
Well,
this
yeah,
is your revenge side coming out.
Well, I was angry, I'll tell you that. But no,
I can
but
tell.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was angry. But, and you know, I guess it's, maybe it's the Georgian temper or something, you know. Usually I'm quite calm, but I can also get pretty, you know.
That's pretty. The passion.
Right. Like, you know, it's sort of. But no, but it was, yeah, it was also, you know, sort of, you know, I guess. A situation where I was like also had enough and you know sort of breaking free from it and also realizing that you know this is like this is not going anywhere and this is not healthy for me and you know.
Well, I like this. There's empowerment in your songs, you know. It's like breaking free. There's like these really cool themes that, you know, sometimes a lot of people don't feel that they don't have that strength or that confidence to do so. And I love that your songs are potent with that emotion because it is about empowering yourself. It is about finding the things you want out of life, going on adventures and leaving things that are safe to, you know, dare to take on the world. And you're doing all of that, you know, with your songs and, you know, your writing. Tell me, the video was so like story based, and I love the way it was shot too. That angle of just seeing the whole room, it becomes the canvas, and you had like 20 costume changes. That must have been crazy. But how did you guys act through that? Did you kind of know what you were gonna do, or was it kind of improvised in the moment? Because you just seemed like you were together, and it was a story.
Well, so this was, it was really fun to come up with this, the concept for this one. And it was Chad Schollmeyer, the director, that really made did a great job at Avalon Studios. So we had everything really well planned, you know, scripted. So it wasn't improvised. It was very much, you know, sort of showing, you know, a relationship from, you know, the very first, you know, moving in and then the whole thing, almost like a year sort of, you know, from how everything is, you know, evolving and then eventually in the end sort of, you know, yeah, just falling apart.
What's so neat is that you see both sides of the relationship. And so you're really, until you have that head on shot, you're kind of siding with both sides. Like, oh, we've all been there. Oh, that sucks on his side or that sucks on her side. And then when you're talking to the camera, we're like totally on your side. We're like, yeah, let them cry for you. Absolutely. Like, so you kind of get your revenge when you have that intimate moment. But yeah, I love that all of your music, and I don't say these compliments very often, your music's very polished. Like your videos are polished. There's a lot of quality control in how you're creating stuff. How do you maintain that project to project or song to song or recording to recording?
Well, thank you very much. Well, I've been very, you know, lucky to work with great people as well, you know, for the music. For example, with Kevin Jarvis, who produced the song, the production of it. And also the team at Avalon Studios. I've actually worked with them for all of my videos that we've seen today. So I've been very, you know, I'm very grateful for opportunity to work with so great people, actually.
It also comes from your vision. I mean, it's not just, yeah, there's one part of it where, yeah, it is the people you're working with, but you know, at the end of the day, you're the one that's kind of also wanting it to sound a certain way or look a certain way, or you know, you're gonna have your two cents. Do you feel like you always have to kind of stay with your own artistic voice to make sure it comes out the way you want? Because at the end of the day, these songs represent you, your videos represent you. So how do you find yourself sticking to that artistic voice through and through?
Well, yeah, I've always been very, you know, I guess I always know, you know, what I sort of, what I want, and I'm very keen on having everything, you know, sort of, yeah, like quality, you know, I wanted to, I guess, be polished, you know, in a way, like you said, and that's my vision, you know, to create, you know, high quality. It's just feels very important to me. And sometimes I've been in situations where I really have to be like, very determined to be like, no, this is the way I want it. This is, you know, how I would like it to be. Just sort of stand my ground. And it's been very, it's not always easy, but it's just, you know, you sort of know yourself what you want. And
well, it sounds like, you know, even in your songs, when you're recording them, there is like a cinematic quality to the songs. When you record it, like, you can hear it in your voice, you can hear it in the songwriting. Are you kind of picturing things? Like, are you picturing like a movie in your mind as you're singing these songs or recording them? Because you're obviously writing from that emotional place, and then to see it come together in the video. But you know, the song also, I wouldn't even need the video to feel those emotions because I'm seeing that movie. Are you kind of writing in that from that perspective, or are you kind of recording when you're doing your vocal from that perspective of seeing something in your mind?
Right. Yeah, definitely. I've always had sort of a vivid imagination, and I definitely see, you know, yeah, I see sort of, I sort of have a vision, and when I'm singing, I'm definitely seeing something, you know, from like fragments or, you know, painting a story in my own head sort of. So yeah, I definitely see it as a movie. I do. And how it could be, you know, in a video. So when I have a song ready, I'm like, oh yeah, I can really see how this could be a great video, or just like you know.
I mean, most people don't understand, like, even just choosing the song for the video, that's a process. So you obviously knew kind of how to find a story in the songs that people can visually relate to. Did you feel like that voice was, you know, you wanted that to empower, maybe it's empowering women, maybe it's empowering people that are kind of lost or trying to find themselves out of a bad relationship. Is that kind of like how you want your music to affect people, is to give them hope?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it's one of the best feelings when somebody's like, yeah, I could really, you know, relate to this, and I really could, you know, this helped me, and it is, yeah, that, of course, that's, you know, the best feeling, of course.
Well, both yeah. Madonna and your grandmother would be proud. What's next for you? Are you planning to perform once the world kind of starts opening up again? Are you planning on coming back to the U.S.? Are you going to perform in Sweden more? All of the above. Tell us a little bit about what's going on for your future.
Right. So, yeah, definitely. I'm really excited to come back to the U.S. I'm waiting to get my shot because I haven't, we're sort of, it goes very slowly here. I don't know. But yeah, we're slowly getting back to some sort of, well, normal, or so to speak. But yeah, I have some new things in the making. Been recording a new single as well, so I'm really excited to do shoot a video for that, and yeah, so forth. So and definitely to be back and play live again, and it's been a long while.
Well, you and I are gonna have to collaborate on some music, but before that, where can people find you online or on your website? Spell everything out for them, because you have a name like I have a name, where people may not know it right away from the first visual, you know? So
right.
Tell us where people can find you online.
So my website, sabinashantore.com, and that's S-A-B-I-N-A, and then C-H-A-N-T-O-U-R-I-A. It's like half of the alphabet, but still Sabina Shantoria.
It's not. You know what? There are so many more complicated names. What I love about your name is, like, you can look at it and read it. My name, everybody stumbles over it. I mean, it doesn't matter where it is or where I am. People stumble on my name because they see a lot of consonants they're not used to. So I feel your pain, but your name is much easier than most. That's for sure. And when do you think the new single and new video will be coming out?
Hopefully by the end of this year. If not, then definitely in the beginning of 2022.
Well, so when that happens, you're going to have to come back on Wake Up Hollywood, and we'll do a world premiere. How's that sound?
Awesome. Definitely.
You know, you have been an awesome, awesome, awesome artist, a wonderful guest. You were an amazing student, so I only knew that all these great things would be coming out of you. So thank you for sharing your gifts with the world. Thank you for sharing your music with everybody. Keep making music. Keep making videos. You're a wonderful, wonderful artist, and I love hearing your songs. They're magically just awesome. So never forget that. And when you do your video release, we'd like to have you back, okay? So don't forget us.
Oh, no. Thank you so much. I can't wait to be back.
Well, on behalf of Ronan, myself, and Sabina, we'll see you all next week. Check out Sabina's music, sabinashantoria.com, and we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.